It would be blasphemy after what just happened to say good morning because it's a great morning.
Good morning.
So turn to the person next to you and say, great morning. I would like to thank Steve and Ray and the different leaders here for the privilege of being with you this week. I minister in so many different church, types of churches, denominations, networks.
I have
many friends around the world that are quite close. And I found something interesting over the years about friendship. Sometimes friendship is not of our choosing. It's of God's choosing. And that there's people we like and we hang out with. But then all of a sudden, it's like with Jonathan. One day he saw this guy that he had probably never seen before. His name was David. And their hearts were knit together. And I find that sometimes and when you're not expecting it, God knits your heart to somebody else. And we don't always, sometimes it's with people we wouldn't expect. Sometimes it's even with people we find strange. Like Ray. But when I met him last May,
in
the north of England, I just felt a knitting in my heart to him. And the same with Steve when I met him in August. And I've just been so impressed being here this week. The messages some of you have spoken, Colin and Paul, I've just felt in an incredible way, so challenged within
me.
So it's a privilege to be with you this week. The tricky thing about being prophetic is to be aware when you're being prophetic. Sometimes we're prophetic and we're not even aware of it. And then sometimes we think we're prophetic, but we're actually pathetic. Steve pointed out last night that the other day in the meetings, I didn't say regions beyond, but I said borders beyond.
And
I think symbolically speaking, that's actually prophetic. Because if you think about a region, you think about maybe going from here in Clarence down to Pretoria or Johannesburg, a different region. But when you talk about going to a crossing of border, that's a whole different thing. And like what Donna is doing in Burundi. And what you're going to be doing in some closed nations over the next 10, 15 years. As a movement, you're not just going to be going into regions, you're going to be crossing closed borders with the kingdom.
Uh,
I prophesied over four people at the beginning of the meeting yesterday. And I actually had a fifth person I intended to prophesy over. But I forgot about it, and after I sat down, I thought, wow, why didn't I do that? But when they called you up, Donna, to prophesy over you, I thought, that's why. Because today is a day of sending out an impartation for you. 2 days ago, Don, I saw in a vision that you're like a very powerful arrowhead. And you were the very point of that arrow. And like the arrows that Elisha the prophet blessed to be shot out to the enemy in the Arameans, there's a great kingdom anointing upon what you're doing and what you're going to be doing. And I felt like the Lord said to tell you this, that when you're at the very point of something new, there can be a certain loneliness in that pioneering. And I even feel like the Lord has said you felt a bit isolated. But in this arrowhead I saw, it very quickly broadened. And the Lord wants to encourage you. You're going to find over the next few months and years many strong men and women standing right behind you, almost shoulder to shoulder with you. And you're going to realize you're not alone in this. But there's the strength of numbers with you. It's just you have the privilege and also the responsibility of being the point. But God's going to provide the people and the resources. I spoke 2 days ago about name changes are game changers. Before Abram could go on to be a father of a multitude, he had to have a deeper revelation of a new name of God. And so God also gave him a new name from Abram to Abraham. And I'm not saying this legalistically, I'm not talking about paperwork or governmentally, but I want to say that I see you all as borders beyond. There is a kingdom breaker anointing upon this movement to break down demonic walls. Some of those demonic walls are going to be a false religion such as Islam. But I also see God doing new works in some of the countries that are giving themselves over to postmodern atheism. And I believe there's going to be a grace upon you for going into some of the former communistic nations where there's a stronghold of atheism today. This is a movement beyond the borders. And I just want to talk about the gift of vision. Jesus said, "My sheep, my people, will know my voice." When I teach on prophecy, I tell people, the goal is not to become a prophet. The goal is to become the prophetic sons and daughters. That we can live lives like Jesus did. We get all caught up on titles. Some people want to be called an apostle or a prophet or a pastor. The highest title you can get, you've already got. It's to be a son or daughter of God Almighty. So to be apostolic or to be prophetic, it's a function much more than a badge. And Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. Joel said, the young men and women will prophesy. The older ones will dream dreams. The younger men will see visions. So you know what that means? Two things. It is your birthright to be led by the Spirit because you're a son or daughter of God. But secondly, it means if you get a lot of dreams from the Holy Spirit, don't tell anybody, they'll just say you're old. The young men see visions, the older ones dream dreams. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, when people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. One of the reasons why some churches are not fruitful, they don't experience revelation. They have no room for revelation from what the Father would say to them. It is your birthright to be led by the Spirit. And it is a gift when God gives a dream or a vision to us. And of course, that means we need to process that dream or vision in a healthy way. We don't just say, oh, God has spoken to me, now I'm going. But we use wisdom and discernment. Wisdom is found in a multitude of counselors. So I'm not saying if you have a dream from the Lord next week, you just run off and do your thing. Because God is wanting a prophetic company, an apostolic people. And wisdom is found in a multitude of counselors. I heard no response to that whatsoever. I thought it was a good point. Maybe we need to say it again. Wisdom is found in a multitude of counselors. So we don't just do our thing, but we do it as a people. James said, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. We are the children of light. So we're to, in his light, we see light. But James also said, sometimes we do not have because we do not ask. In Matthew chapter 20, there's a story of a wonderful healing that happened with two blind men. Jesus was making his last trip to Jerusalem. And he was walking from Jericho. There was a great multitude of people going with him. And that route, it was a trade caravan route. And there were two blind beggars. Poor men. No reputation, no power, no prestige. But they would beg on that road. And sometimes the trade caravans would throw them a loaf of bread or a few pennies. But now they hear hundreds of people walking by. And they said, "What's going on?" And the people said, "It's Jesus." For 3 years, everybody been talking about Jesus. The healer, the prophet, maybe the Messiah. And this was their golden moment. And they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us." But you know what happened? The crowd began to tell them, "Shut up, don't bother the master." And sometimes, God will give you a vision, a dream. He'll give you a sense of something. And you need to allow the Spirit of God to stir your heart. But sometimes there's a problem. There'll be other people around you. They'll say, "Well, don't get too excited. You know, just, Jesus is going to take care of you. And you know, someday you're going to heaven. It'll be okay in the sweet by and by." No. You see, the blessings of the kingdom are not just for the sweet by and by. They're for the dirty now and now. Let me help you with something. You know the first miracle Jesus did, turning water into wine. They took the water to the steward. And when he tasted it, he called the bridegroom. And in most translations of the Bible, it says that the bridegroom, or the steward, he said to the bridegroom, "Most people serve the good wine first. But you have saved the best for..." That's not what he actually said. Many translations say that he said, "You saved the best for last." But in the original language, what he actually said was, "You have saved the best for now." You see, if you're constantly thinking, the blessings are going to be tomorrow. The breakthrough is going to be next month. Revival is going to be in 5 years. You're never going to get there. Because this is the day the Lord has made. We are to be a now people. We are to say, "Today your compassions are fresh. Today you have more for us than our eyes have seen, ears have heard." And yes, we prepare for the future. We build for the future. But today is a kingdom day. Today is the day for seeking first the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And the crowd said, "You know, you're going to be okay, but don't bother the master." I want to say something to you. 2017 is a season to bother the master. This is a time to pray like never before. Because I've gotten 3 words about this season. Fresh creativity coming from God. Fresh innovation. And it's a time to invest. Maybe in areas that you've never invested in. It's a time to invest in Burundi. It's a time to invest in Jerusalem. It's a time to invest beyond the borders of where you've been before. And you know what? Those two blind men, they would not be shut up because they knew this was their moment. They yelled out even louder, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And I love this, what it then says. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. Prayer is an incredible gift God has given us. And I'm not taking anything away from the majesty of Christ. But as the sons and daughters of the Father through Jesus, God will stop sometimes for you. But sometimes we do not have because we do not ask. And I love this. Jesus said to them, what do you want me to do for you? I'd like to say to you as a movement, what do you want Jesus to do for you? I'm convinced after spending this week with you, you've got such healthy hearts. I'm with some churches that all they do is talk about healing of the heart. But still, their hearts aren't healed. You have a very healthy heart in this movement. I don't know how you got it, but this is your time. Now, let me say something to you as an encouragement. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. And as I've gotten to know Steve and Ray and some of you, I go to many churches where they talk about creating a culture of honor. You know what I found? That if you have to talk about it, probably you don't have it. But what I found in this church is you're a very honoring people. That's just part of your DNA as a movement. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this is a season of the next 2 years. The Lord is going to open up the eyes of your heart in an incredible way to behold the beauty of the Lord. But fresh vision is going to come to you. As a movement in your churches, in your families, in your ministries. Some of you over the next few years are going to start new businesses. Some of you are going to start new ministries. Some of you are going to go into politics and government work. But everywhere you go, you're going to be like that kingdom arrow. You're going to, the breaker spirit is upon you. And when Jesus said, what do you want? They said, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And Jesus, in compassion, he touched their eyes, and their eyes were opened. And they followed him. I want to share with you for me what I call two life verses in the Bible. These two verses I believe everybody ought to underline in their Bibles. Now I know there's some people that don't believe in underlining verses in their Bible. That's okay. But when I tell you these verses, reach over and underline it in somebody else's Bible. 1 Corinthians 2:9. That for those that love God, He has things for them that their eyes have not seen, more than their ears have heard, more than can enter into their understanding. And Ephesians 3:20-21. Give glory to the one who can do far more than you can think or ask, according to His power that works through us. What these two verses have in common, they are the more verses of promise. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Ephesians 3:20-21. God wants to do far more to you and through you than you can ever begin to understand. I was sharing with the leaders the other day that in 1992, in my home church in San Diego, one of our leaders got a vision one week. And he said, God wants us to go after the teenagers in our city. In our city, there's a lot of violence. A lot of drugs and alcohol. A lot of broken families. A lot of hurting teenagers. And the Lord said, I want you to go after the teenagers. But I want you to do it in a way you've never done it before. And He told us to rent a small storefront property. Not in our church, but in another location, a non-church location. And he said, train some volunteers that are good at relationships and have this store open every afternoon after school. And fill it with games. Ping pong tables. Electric games. So these teenagers can have a safe place to hang out at after school. And so we started this. We called it Youth Venture. And there were just three rules. If a teenager came in to the club, they could not come in with either a gun or a knife. Because that's a problem where I live. A lot of teenagers are carrying weapons. So you couldn't bring any weapons in and you couldn't get in a fight. The second rule was if you made a decision for Christ through one of the volunteers, that you would allow them to disciple you in the Lord. And then there was a third level of entering into group discipleship, We didn't have the money for this.
Ne re sena tjhelete bakeng sa ntho.
But God gave us this vision.
Empa Modimo a re fa bo.
And so we did it.
Jwale ya ba re a yetsa.
We started this little storefront.
Ya ba re qalella ho ba le sebaka se.
We trained volunteers in relationship evangelism.
Ra kwetlisa ba ithaupi ho hasa evangeli ka tsela ya dikamano.
We began to see a few teenagers get saved.
Ra bona ba cha ba mmalwa ba qala ho pholosa.
About a year went by. And a businessman stops at our church office one morning. He said, "You don't know me. I don't go to your church. But I've heard what you're doing for teenagers in the city." He said, "I want to help you." He gave us a check for
$10,000.
That was in the morning. That afternoon, another business person stops by. He said, "You don't know me. I don't go to your church. But I've heard what you're doing for teenagers." He said, "I want to help." He wrote us a check for $50,000. We now had $60,000 in our hand. You know what we did? We started a second location. Today we've got seven of them. And in the last 20 years, we've seen over 4,000 teenagers come to Christ. Many of them are in leadership. Many of them have led their alcoholic and druggy mother and father to the Lord. Ten years ago, we get a call from an apostolic leader in Kenya. He said, "I've heard what you're doing with Youth Venture."
Sure.
He said, "Would you send a team to our churches in Kenya to train us?" We started sending teams to Kenya to train their churches. They started youth venture clubs in Kenya. 3 years ago, the Minister of Education for the nation of Kenya went to that apostolic leader and said, "I've seen what's happening in your youth venture clubs. We need to do these in our public high schools." So 3 years ago, we sent a team over to train secular teachers how to do a Christ-based discipleship program. This year, from between Kenya and Rwanda, there are over 100,000 teenagers going through a Christ-based discipleship program. And here is what they found. That when teenagers go through this program, there is a 90% reduction in dropping out of school. And there is a 90% reduction in pregnancy outside of marriage. Why am I telling you this? Because 20 years ago, 24 years ago, God gave us this little seed of a vision. We couldn't even afford to do it. But let me tell you something. When God gives you a vision, when God gives you a dream, when God gives you a revelation, when you step out in the small steps, His provision follows the vision. The provision will always follow the vision.
If we're
walking in obedience, even if it's the small steps, God has more for your life, more for your family, more for your church, more for this movement, more than your eyes have seen, your ears have heard. And let me tell you something. God wants you to enjoy the journey. God wants you to enjoy the journey. God wants you to enjoy the journey. I know that yesterday when I spoke, I spoke about the tribulations involved in extending the kingdom. But that does not take away from the fact that there's a lot of blessings on the journey. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to stop looking at the streams and turn to look at the rivers. If all you've ever seen is a little stream, and you hear that God wants to bring streams of living water out of you, you'll say, well, I've seen streams. A little bit of water. So that means that God wants a little bit of water flowing out of me. But then you go on a journey and you see a huge, mighty river. You can't walk across that river. You can't swim across that river. It's just massive with the water flowing through it. That's a whole different understanding of what Jesus said, that if you're thirsty, come to me and streams of water will flow out of
you.
We look at all the problems in the earth today. But the prophet Habakkuk, he said the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. We are part of something. Seeing transformation coming to the nations. David said in the Psalms, even though I walk through the valley of Baca, a dry, lonely, barren place, it will become a place of reeds and rushes flowing with living waters. God may send you to some very difficult places. And he's not sending you there to be a survivalist. He's sending you there to be a transformist. To bring transformation. To where there's dry, lonely, barren, fruitless places, to see transformation of the glory of God. He's going to send you to places where there's poverty. He's not sending you there to survive. He's sending you there to break the stronghold of poverty. He's going to send some of you to places with a lot of witchcraft. He's not sending you there to survive the witchcraft. He's sending you there to get the witches saved. You know, I thought that was a good point. About five people were excited. See, let me give you a kingdom principle. Psalm 37. The righteous will prosper even during a time of famine. So the economy of man Whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical, or financial. The economy of man does not determine your well-being. The kingdom of God determines your well-being. And let me tell you, it's not just the cattle on 1,000 hills that belong to God. It's the oil, the gold, the silver, everything. That's why two men would show up in the same day and say, hey, here's $10,000. Hey, here's $50,000. Because whether the world realizes it or not, it all belongs to God. But I'm glad there's the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. Because I love a good braai. So, here's what I want to challenge you to. I've challenged my home church with this. I've spoken it in churches in Europe and the United States.
Since.
I want to challenge you in your thinking about 2017 and
2018.
That over the next few months, two or three days a week, find an extra 15 minutes in your prayer life. And just wait upon the Lord. And say, Lord, Father God, you have more for me than my eyes have seen, than my ears have heard. You have more for me than I can imagine. You have more for me than I can think or ask. So, Father, would you begin to speak to me? Some fresh dreams, some fresh visions. Things I never could have imagined on my own. If you will take 10 to 15 minutes, 2 to 3 weeks a day, for the next several months, as James said, you will have because you ask. And like those two blind men, bother the master. Say, Lord, we want our eyes to be open. And if you will ask the Father in the name of Jesus, because it's your birthright to be led by the Spirit, I believe he's going to speak to many of you about things you've never done before. Things that he will do to you and things that he will do through you. And especially if what God gives you seems impossible right now. Probably that means you're hearing from God. Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not to your own understanding, but trust the Lord with all my heart. Before, there's people over here that are excited. So we're going to focus over here. You're on your own. This is the Pentecostal group over here. So, in closing, before we pray, let me say this. As we talk about the glory of God, that includes a revelation of the holiness of the Lord. What is biblical holiness? Does it mean no sin? I think it means more than that. Biblical holiness means three things. First, to embrace Christ Jesus. Because he is your holiness. Secondly, to embrace the ways of God. Moses said, Lord, teach me your ways that I might know you. So we change our thinking about life. And we don't allow the cultures of this world to determine our thinking. But we allow the culture of the kingdom to affect our thinking. So, one, we embrace Christ. Two, we embrace the ways of Christ. But three, you embrace the will of the Father for your life. You see, after Moses had spent 40 years taking care of somebody else's sheep, can you imagine the frustration he lived with? He lived as a young man in complete wealth. He was like a prince of Egypt. And then for the next 40 years, lives with a small Bedouin tribe out in the bush. And after 40 years, he still doesn't have any of his own sheep. He was still taking care of somebody else's sheep. I think he probably thought, I'm a failure. But then he sees the burning bush. And he said, I must turn aside to gaze upon this. He went up to the mountain. Came into the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. And in that place of holiness, God called him into his destiny. In that place of holiness, his calling was reconfirmed. In that place of holiness, the authority of the Lord came upon him. And then he led 2.5 million people out of slavery into freedom. And as you consider these visions of what you've accomplished, but what God is calling you to do, there is a holiness about this board. There was a holiness about the prayer meetings this week as you prayed about this. And God considers it holy, the destiny and calling he has upon this movement. And that means if you're part of this movement, he's calling you that holiness as well. His intentions for your life, he views as holy. May I suggest that we take his intentions as holiness as well. Okay, let's stand. Are you still alive? Or are you just thinking about the bride? Gavin, could you come on up and just play on the keyboard? In closing, I really want to pray for just one group of people. And this invitation is not to embarrass anybody. We're all a family together. We're all growing in the grace of God together. And so where maybe one of us has a weakness, others can lend their blessings and give strength. So if this applies to you, please don't be embarrassed. Please come forward. But if you know you have a hard time hearing from God, if you know that you have a difficult time getting visions or dreams, leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to ask you to come forward right now.
And
we're going to pray for you. Because it is your birthright to be led by the Spirit. So if you need to come forward, please come forward right now. Come all the way forward if you would. And I'd like to ask for Steve and Ray and some of the visionary leaders of this movement. If you would just begin to lay hands on people, just begin to bless them. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, we stand together as a family. Your word says that all those that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. We know it is our birthright, Father, to hear from you. And so, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you cause the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened so that we could receive the dreams and visions you have for us. Lord, we want to be a more people. And we want to be a now people. We want to embrace 2017-2018. And we want to do more than our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, more than we can imagine. So I bless you to be prophetic. I bless you to be led by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. I bless you to begin to receive dreams and visions. Steve.
Wow, what a time. We started off the week looking at what God's achieved over 20 years. But as I listen today, I feel like we've just begun. So, Lord Jesus, we so do want to be a people who hear from you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that everyone up here this afternoon will know a dramatic change in their ability to hear you. And Lord, we pray for us as a movement that we'd continue to be led by the word and the voice of God. We pray that you certainly would put new breath in our lungs. And Lord, as we begin to exercise all we have heard this week, that you'd grow our lung capacity. Lord, you said that blessed are those who do.
And
I pray that we would treasure everything we've heard. That we wouldn't just be hearers, but doers of your word. I thank you for
Mark.
I thank you for his family.
And
we do pray, Lord, as he travels on to bless other regions of our movement, that he would find that he's riding an incredible wave of truth and blessing. But Lord Jesus, we thank you for all he's given out. And we pray, Lord, it would also be a season where he drinks heavily from you, drinks deeply from you. Pray your blessing on him, Lord.
We
thank you for this new friendship. The season of heart joining, which we know is for the good of the gospel. Father, would you keep us? Would you make us more fruitful? Would you help us to walk in deep humility and be so obedient to our call and this vision? Let the light of your face shine on us, Lord. We hear this exhortation to spend more time in prayer. If you feel you welcome that and you want to really give yourself to that, why don't you just put a hand in the air? That you're
going
to find more time for prayer. Lord, I pray for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, in those times to wait on you, to hear from you, to see you, and to grow in the more you have for us. I commit all of us to safe travel. Keep those who are traveling far distances. And Lord, multiply us. Multiply us, Lord. Multiply us, Lord.